Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to harness your intuition. Intuition is key to self-actualizing. If you watched my older video called Self-Actualization, where I actually give a rigorous definition of what self-actualization means, you'll remember that one of the points of a self-actualized individual is that they're highly intuitive and that they use their intuition as a compass to direct their life. A lot of people don't do this because they're out of touch with their intuition. So that's what we're going to address here. Your life lacks big picture thinking, and it lacks motivation and purpose, and it lacks strategy, not the little picture tactics and details. A lot of people get totally lost in life, frying the little fish and ignoring all the big fish that they should be chasing. And so they get a lot less out of life than they could. And this is especially bad in modern Western culture, which has a left brain bias. What this means is that as a culture, we don't really teach our children how to harness their intuition. And we don't even hold it as acceptable for adults in this culture to use intuition to make decisions. Because just think about it. If you're sitting in a corporate boardroom and you're trying to convince the boardroom to do some new project or some ambitious new thing with the company, what's going to happen? If you have some proposal, they're going to ask you for logical reasons and justifications for why your proposal is correct. And they will not accept as argument something like, well, my intuition tells me it's right. They won't accept that. Because in our culture, everything has to be over-rationalized and over-justified. But in fact, if you take a deeper look at what's going on, is that most of the most important decisions you make in your life are actually stemming from your intuition. And then when you start to get your logical mind in there and you try to start to rationalize it and over-justify it, that just screws up the process. So at least with your life, I'm not saying you're going to be able to change your corporate culture overnight, but at least in your life, you need to be honest with yourself and admit that intuition plays a huge role. And if it doesn't, that's the extent to which your life doesn't go very well. Intuition is more powerful than logic will ever be. Ever be. Because purpose and vision, which is the thing that pushes forward everything in life, no matter if it's you personally or in a corporate boardroom or if you're the leader of a government or whatever. Vision comes first. It's what creates the strategic intent. It's what generates the big picture that then allows you to go in there and fill in all the details with your logical mind. You see, the human mind is a very interesting thing, and it's a lot more mysterious and complex than you would think. This sort of linear thinking from A to B to C, this sort of cause and effect linear thinking, is not able to crunch a lot of data. And to make really high quality, high level decisions, and to have wisdom, what you need is you need to be able to crunch a shitload of data that your logical mind will never, ever be able to grapple with. And the only way you can do that is by trusting your subconscious mind to do that processing for you. And your subconscious mind, it's not very reasonable, and it's not very logical, and it's not very linear. It's a vast distributed network that functions in truly mysterious ways. But what it can do very consistently is it can crunch tons of data, tons of factors, very subtle factors and data that your logical mind would never understand. It can crunch all that and come back to you with decisions, wisdom, creative insights, and so forth in a very spontaneous way. But this is a human way. It's not a logical computer way. So if you're a computer geek, you have a problem with this. And, you know, in our Western culture, we're all, in a sense, sort of like stuck in this left brain computer geek's way of thinking. When in fact, what we need is we need more visionaries. You need to be the visionary in your life, You need to be the visionary for your company. You need to be the visionary in your organization and within the community that you're living in at large. You need to be the visionary. That's what we need to move humanity forward, and also for you to create the kind of life that you want. Be careful discounting intuition as some kind of voodoo, airy-fairy thing. It's really not. You just need to get in touch with it. It's really a higher order form of intelligence. It's the difference between using just like a calculator to crunch some numbers and using a vast supercomputer that functions in ways that you don't even understand yet. That's the power of intuition. Your intuition is much more powerful than logical intelligence. That is not what makes human beings amazing. It's not our logical intelligence. It's our intuitive intelligence that makes us amazing. But you need to demonstrate this for yourself, not just to believe me. Personally, in my own life, I've always been rather intuitive. And I think that that's been one of the keys to my success. In fact, if I take a look back at my life history, since I was in middle school, and even earlier, since I was just like 6 years old, I can think back all the way back there, and all the way till today and right now, I can see that every major transition, every area in my life where I grew the most, where my consciousness increased permanently in big ways, all of that was tied to me following my intuitions. So I can think back to high school when I had this intuitive urge to take harder classes, and so I ended up enrolling in a lot of very difficult, challenging AP college classes, and that transformed my entire intellectual understanding of life, got me passionate about education. And then when I was in college, I had an intuitive urge halfway through college to switch majors, like very radically switch my major from engineering to philosophy. And that was a huge shift for me that was very important. Also, when I got my first job and my first career, within the first 6 months, I got the intuitive urge that I need to quit my career and quit my job. And so that was a challenging one to follow up on, but I did, and that paid off big time for me. Also, then when I started working for myself, I got this intuitive urge that, hey, you know, I really want to get back into education. I want to educate myself the way that I did in high school, because I lost touch with that after I exited college. And so I got back into reading and studying just for myself, and that was hugely important. Also, then when my first business started to become successful, I got the intuitive urge that I need to quit my first business at the height of its success. And that was a very challenging intuition to have and to work, but I worked it, and that ended up leading to actualize.org. And then I got an intuitive urge after I started transitioning into actualize.org, I got the intuitive urge to move cities, to move from Dallas to Vegas, and that was important for me at the time. That was also an intuition that I got. Then I got intuitions about focusing on enlightenment and making that the thrust of my personal development and putting that above all other concerns within personal development. And that was important. Even when I consult my intuition for taking substances like psychedelics, you know, I ask myself, like, should I take this psychedelic now or shouldn't I? And then I just quietly listen to what my intuition tells me, and my intuition gives me an urge and it tells me whether I should and shouldn't. And then I'll try to honor that. And to the extent that I do, usually it turns out well. Lately, I've been getting intuitive urges to evolve actualize.org, to really radically change up the content that I'm delivering. And so I'm currently working with that. And then also, I'm getting a really deep urge just to stop playing the game of life entirely, to stop pursuing success, to even stop pursuing success through actualize.org. To even stop helping people. Like, I'm getting that kind of like really, really deep desire just to free myself from every single attachment that I have. And that's something I'm currently working on. So this is just a list of examples because I want to make this tangible, not keep it in the abstract. You know, you might wonder, well, Leo, intuition, what does that really mean? And what that really means for me is that when you quiet your mind down, when you're free of distractions and you're just sitting there alone in solitude, what you should notice is that there's a little voice inside of you that comes up with all sorts of interesting things, which is different from monkey mind and is different from logic. It's sort of like your higher self, your muse, speaking to you. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, this is a pretty strong voice. And it's spoken to me for my entire life. And to the extent that I've been able to follow it, it's been responsible for almost all of my deep-seated success. And then to the extent that I didn't follow it, or that I stalled, or that I tried to suppress it, to that extent, my life didn't go very well, and I wasn't satisfied. But intuition is difficult to follow. It's not easy. You might wonder, like, well, what's the problem? So I'll just listen to this voice, and off we go, and everything is fine. But there's three key failure points that I see with following one's intuition. Firstly, is that most people can't even hear it. First problem, because you got to hear it to take action on it. Secondly, even if you can hear it, most people are so full of impurities, personal impurities, that they can't follow it. And thirdly, is that even if they clear up all the impurities and they hear the voice, they just don't get to work on it. So those are the three failure points. Now I want to talk about why these happen and how to overcome them with some solutions. So firstly, is that you can't hear the little voice inside of you. Why does this happen? Largely for just two reasons, and these are largely cultural reasons. First is that it's drowned out, the voice is drowned out by our culture and our media and all the people in your life and all the distractions. And secondly, because there's a cultural, modern Western cultural bias to be overly logical, overly materialistic, and overly pragmatic. And this, all this taken together, means that you very rarely listen to that muse inside of you. So what's the solution? Well, firstly, it's to acknowledge that true intelligence comes from something much deeper than you. You are not the source of intelligence. This is a very bad habit that Western minds have put themselves into. It is this idea that somehow we are the master race or the master species on this planet, and we have some sort of form of higher logical intelligence that's better than all the animals and all the other creatures and all of that, and that there's nothing above us and we're way above everybody else. No. That's a highly arrogant, highly conceited, and highly ignorant understanding of how intelligence functions. A better way to understand intelligence is that intelligence actually doesn't come from you, but that intelligence is like interwoven into the fabric of existence itself. And this is a very difficult thing to explain to somebody who hasn't done any higher consciousness work, who hasn't meditated, who hasn't achieved some of the higher consciousness states that are possible, or maybe done some psychedelics, at least, you know, to start to see that you are not the end-all be-all, and that you are actually not the one who's generating intelligence. This sounds kind of cuckoo if you grew up and you went to university and you just kind of went through that really westernized, materialistic kind of frame of mind that tells you that intelligence is only the analytical form of intelligence that exists, where you can do a mathematical theorem or write something in a book or read something in a book or write a dissertation, and that that's like the pinnacle of intelligence. Actually, no, that's not. That's not. Intelligence is a much deeper thing, and that's something you need to get in touch with. So firstly, I just want you to acknowledge that there is a possibility that intelligence is a lot vaster than you think it is. So just acknowledge that. Because when you do, that opens up room now for intelligence to come to you from sources beyond yourself. It's not as crazy as it sounds. In fact, the more you start to do what I'm going to be telling you here, following these steps, this will become so obvious to you. Some of you will be listening to me and you're like, Leo, of course, why are you even stressing this point? I'm stressing the point because for a lot of people, this stuff is very off-putting because it sounds hippie. But as your consciousness increases, it will become more and more obvious to you. So another thing you need to do to start to hear the voice is you need to remove distractions. I'd say that this is probably the number one reason people don't follow their intuition, is that they're too distracted. with all the stuff they do in their life, all the pragmatic, logical stuff, all the chores, all the social obligations, to the point where you have no free time for even 5 minutes of silence and solitude in your everyday. And of course, when you don't have any silence or solitude, you can never really hear the voice. It gets drowned out by the TV, by the internet, by the video games, by the pornography, by your parents and your friends and your partying and all that stuff. So that one is huge. I have a whole episode called Lifestyle Minimalism, which goes into depth about how important it is to minimize your lifestyle. This is one of the reasons why, so that your intuition can come forth and you can actually start to hear it. Also, I think it's very important to contemplate your death, to start to hear your voice, because you need to be aware of the fact that your life will not continue forever. This materialistic orgy that you're a part of, as you're part of mainstream culture, this is not going to continue forever. All right. And you need to realize that. When you realize that, then your priorities will start to realign. You'll start to move away from materialism and towards deeper things in life. I have a whole episode about how to contemplate your own death, so maybe go watch that one, so that you can start to grasp the fact that your life is going by very, very quickly. It's going to escape you much faster than you ever thought possible. When you realize that, then you will open yourself up more to intuition. Having your life near-death experience, you know, people, if you ever read about someone having a near-death experience, like cancer, car crash, some other kind of family tragedy, all their priorities get reshuffled. Why is that? Because they come face to face with death. And when you're faced with death, materialistic pursuits stop being very significant to you. And then the intuition comes out and tells you, hey, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. Let's work on frying bigger fish here. Also, you need to get clear about what you want out of life. And hint, what you want is not success, it's not sex, it's not money, it's not a marriage. These are not what you really want. I'm talking about, what do you really want from life? How do you get very clear about that? My life purpose course goes into a lot of depth on that, so I don't have time to go into it here. Meditation is very important as a habit, because it creates that kind of stillness and solitude that you need. And while you meditate, you will notice that your intuition comes through your meditation, and also the more years you meditate, the stronger your intuition will get. The easier and more attuned you will become to that very subtle muse voice inside of you, because it's a subtle voice. It's very easy to get it drowned out by politics, by internet, by family squabbles, and all this kind of stuff. And lastly, as a solution to not hearing your intuition, is you need to start to get more in touch with your emotions. Do exercises that help you to actually feel into your emotions. Now, meditation can be one of those. Maybe yoga. There's a lot of different exercises in the self-help field that help you to get in touch with your emotions. So start doing those. So that was the first problem. Now, the second problem is that you're full of many impurities. What does this mean? Well, the problem here is that you've got your ego. You've got various cravings, fears, traumas, and dogmas, which all are a distorting filter over top of your intuition. So your intuition gets distorted by these things. The bigger your ego, the more distorted your intuition will be. In fact, the ego will co-opt the intuition and use it to all sorts of crude, low consciousness ends, basically. What's the solution to this? Well, firstly, the solution is to have benevolent motives in your life, and that whatever you're moving towards or whatever you're trying to accomplish in your life, make sure that at the highest level that this is coming from love and not from defensiveness, not from fear, not from craving, not from self-identity or self-importance, not from protecting yourself or your family or your clan, and not from defending dogmas or beliefs or worldviews that you have. Notice how all of that is very different than coming from love. Coming from love, coming from beauty, coming from a sense of contribution. These are what I would call benevolent motives, benevolent higher consciousness values. So start there. Then move on to spiritual purification. Spiritual purification is the entire process, basically, of purifying your identity of your cravings, of your fears, of your deepest held beliefs and worldviews, and your sense of self-importance, your life story, dropping all of that, purifying all that away, burning it away, so that you're left with like a sort of an empty vessel. And then what happens is that you become a vehicle of the intuitive voice inside of you. You become a servant of the muses, which is not what you are right now. Because even if you can hear the muses, the problem is you've got all these personal fears and all these personal cravings for sex and for food and for security and for money and for success and for fame and for validation, for approval. When you've got all that stuff in the way, you can't really follow your intuitions, because your intuitions will try to push you beyond all that, but you won't be able to go there because you're weighed down by all these heavy egoic things. It's almost like you're a hot air balloon, right? And the intuitions want to pull you up because they're light and airy. They're sort of spiritual. But you've got these big, massive weights. Every single fear, every single belief you hold, every single childhood trauma that you still live in reaction to, every single part of your identity that you're attached to, all of that is like ropes tying this hot air balloon to the ground. And so what spiritual purification is like taking some scissors and systematically snipping every single one of those ropes so that then you can float off high in the air. Releasing beliefs is a very big component of this. I just released an episode, very in-depth episode last week about the limitations of beliefs and the mechanics of how beliefs operate and how to start to go about dropping them. So that's going to be a hugely important aspect of being able to follow through on your intuitions, because a lot of times you get an intuition like, oh, maybe I should start this business, or maybe I should go help people in a third world country, or maybe I should do something nice for this person. But then what happens? All these limiting beliefs come up and say, oh, well, I can't do this and I shouldn't do that. And, you know, what if that's wrong? And that there's no possible way that I could do this because, you know, it's not what I believe is possible for myself. You might even have limiting beliefs right now about intuition. Maybe you have the belief that intuition is just nonsense, that intuition is just something I'm making up, that intuition isn't very important, or it's not very powerful, or that you can't strengthen your connection to intuition, or that logic is better than intuition. Maybe you hold that kind of dogma and you're really attached to that because you have this identity of like, I'm a very logical, scientifically minded person and I can't give that up. If I give that up, then I'm just opening myself up to all this kind of nonsense. And then I'll get lost and then I'll just be like all the silly people out there who believe in all sorts of nonsense. See, that might be an attachment you have. And that's just one example of many, 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 many attachments and beliefs that you need to release. Another solution to clearing up your impurities is to change your environment. Your environment, especially again in modern Western culture, is a huge source of impurities. Not only is it an impurity to remove, but it's an impurity. It's like a impurity generation machine. It's like extra bad. Not only do you have this impurity in you, but then the environment keeps recreating that impurity so that if you take the impurity out, it just poisons you more the next day, the next week, the next month. So what do I mean by changing your environment? Changing the place you live in, cleaning up the kind of information that you take into your body and into your mind. By information, I mean media, the news you watch, the politics you listen to, the friends you hang out with, and so forth. Cleaning up your diet, because that's a huge source of impurity in you. And believe it or not, that affects how your mind works. And it affects whether you're even able to listen to your intuition at all. Because you know what? When you go to a giant buffet and eat a bunch of greasy food, you come back, you flop down on the couch watching some TV, your intuition by that point, even if your intuition is telling you stuff, you're in no position to listen to it because your body and your mind have been filled with so many impurities. And also cleaning up your relationships, cleaning up your family relationships, your friendships, and especially your intimate relationships, your marriage. And by cleaning up, I mean making sure it's not toxic anymore or cutting those ties which are toxic and which you cannot clean up, because those will involve you in never-ending, needless drama. And when your mind is caught up in drama, in fighting, in bickering, and this tug of war that goes on with your toxic relationships, you have no more room for hearing the subtle intuition inside of you. And the last tip I'll give you for clearing out impurities is also make sure that you free your body of tension. Your body stores a lot of tension in it. And that's something I haven't talked about very much in prior episodes, is just how much of your problems are not only psychological, but actually physiological. You hold it in your body. Get some body work done, maybe get some massages, maybe do some yoga, maybe do some weightlifting, you know, whatever you need to do to get the tension out of your body, and also practice releasing the tension that's being held in your body right now. Notice, for example, right now as you're sitting there or standing there listening to me, notice which parts of your body are tense. The more relaxed you can make your body, go ahead and relax everything in your body right now that's been tensed. Notice that tension is a function of unconsciousness. It takes consciousness to release tension. So as you release systematically more and more tension from your body, as you spiritually purify yourself, not only psychologically, but physiologically, you will notice that intuition sort of just like courses through your entire body. It's a pretty cool phenomenon. It starts to course through your entire body, because your entire body becomes like a lightning rod for divine inspiration and divine wisdom, which comes from beyond you. Yeah? It's difficult for a lot of people to grasp this, especially if they carry a lot of tension in their body, right? It seems like you're stuck in your mind. As you let go of all the tension in your body, your mind opens up, the body and the mind become a unified system. The channels are opened up. And then you can be very creative and very productive. Which brings us finally to the third failure point with intuition, is that people, even if they have intuitive hits and they have these brilliant sparks of insight and genius, and you know, there's a little voice inside you telling you what you should go out and do, what do most people do? They don't do it. They don't work the intuition. It's not enough just to have intuitions pop up here and there. That is like a source of insight and a source of inspiration. But you need to then take that and work it. The problem here is twofold. One is simply a lack of seriousness, a lack of commitment to your intuition. And secondly, it's a lack of requisite variety. Requisite variety is a fancy term that basically means a lack of creativity on your part, a lack of flexibility in being able to get something accomplished. So let's talk about the solution to these. The high-level solution to this is for you to realize that your number one job in life is to serve your intuition. That's what you're here for on Earth, is to serve your intuition. There's nothing else for you to be doing but serving your intuition. Your intuition is not you. It comes from outside you. And your job is to be a servant of that and to do whatever is necessary to clean yourself up, to open your ears, to listen to it, to receive the message, and then to go out there and be a diligent executor of this intuition. That's, in a nutshell, what you should be doing in your life. But how many people are actually doing that? How many people are actually conscious of that as their mission in life? Very few. So what you need to do is, first of all, just to understand that. Secondly, though, you need to commit to following your intuition, because following your intuition is hard. It's scary. It takes courage. It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes learning new abilities. It takes growing yourself. It takes cutting attachments. It takes letting go of your sense of identity. It takes changing your belief systems. It means doing lots of very practical things that might be at first uncomfortable to you, like moving to a different country, or starting public speaking, or learning a new computer programming language, or going back to college, or quitting your job, you know, all this kind of stuff requires actually making changes to your life. If you're following your intuition, your life will tend to change rather dramatically every couple of years. That's what I found. People who don't follow their intuition, they tend to just kind of like get bogged down and stay put in one little corner of the world for their entire lifetime. And they don't grow very much. They live in the same house, in the same city, in the same state, in the same country, in the same state of mind, at the same job forever. And there's not much growth to be had there. If you're really following your intuitions, your life is always in flux and it's always changing. You're always changing your job. You're changing your relationship. You're changing the books you read. You're changing the seminars you go to. You're changing the friends you hang out with. You're changing what kind of business you do. And that requires a willingness to make radical changes. It requires not getting comfortable in any one spot. Very easy to get comfortable. It also requires mustering the courage. You know, sometimes I have an intuitive hit that tells me something like, shit, this entire business that I'm doing is wrong. I gotta stop. That's a scary intuition to follow. Because I might have just spent 5 years building up this business, and now all of a sudden I wake up one morning and all of a sudden this business is wrong. That means I have to have the courage to say, okay, well, if it's wrong, then I got to start to wind it down, and I got to start on the next thing. What's the next thing? And then I got to go work on that and build it from scratch. That takes a lot more effort than just to say, oh, well, maybe I'm just deluding myself, and just to kind of sweep that under the rug, push it aside, suppress it for 5-10 years. And then by that point, maybe my intuition will give up. I'll get so jaded and so, I'll get so complacent that it's just going to be a dead end. Another solution here is that you must create a sort of intuition incubator in your life. Your job is to incubate the intuitions. They don't come to you in a polished, precise, step-by-step blueprint form. It's not like, oh, I got an intuition about which business I should start, and it also came with a 100-page business, step-by-step business plan and blueprints for how I'm going to do it. No, it comes in a very rough form, and your job is to incubate that, polish it up over time, and then to go out there and work on it. So how do you create an intuition incubator? Well, first of all, by following the steps I already told you, you know, you are your own biggest obstacle as far as the incubation of intuitions because of all the impurities. But once you've gotten the impurities out, then what I recommend is that you journal a lot about the intuitions you actually have. Write them down, keep track of them, catalog them, articulate them in actual specific and clear language. Contemplate them a lot, think about them. And then create action plans. Convert your abstract ideas into action plans of what you need to go out there and do. And then because you're committed to following your intuitions, you will then go out there and do it. And be very strategic in the way that you follow your intuitions. Some intuitions that I've had required 5 to 10 years of laying the groundwork before the intuition could come to the surface and bear fruit. You see, like with my life purpose. I had an intuition when I was still in the middle of high school that I needed to find my life purpose and that I needed to make a career around my life purpose. I just had that intuition. I didn't know what exactly that meant. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And then I went through all of 4 years of university and then also 1 year in my first job. That's 5 years. And then also about 3 more years starting my first business, that's about 8 years. And during all that time, I was looking for what my life purpose is, trying to figure it out. And I was failing. I wasn't getting it. And I had to restart from scratch sometimes, completely from scratch, several times, until I was able to finally figure it out with actualize.org. And still, I'm still evolving and I'm still continuing forward. I'm not resting on my laurels, right? But that was an example where I had to be strategic and very persistent, and I had to have a very long-term view. My number one commitment had to be to my intuitions and not to my comfort level, not to my personal security, not to staying in one city, because I had to move around the whole country to try to accomplish this. See, I changed cities once, twice, three times. Three times I changed cities from West Coast to East Coast in order to do this. All right. So that's just one example. What I see is that many people, they get an intuition. They even then come up with a little plan for it. But then their plan is so short-sighted that it's like, well, if this plan happens in the next 3 months, okay. But if it takes any longer than 3 months, then there's no way in hell they're going to do it. Because they're not like really serious about their number one priority in life, which is that they are a vehicle of their intuitions. If you're not serving your intuitions, who are you serving? You're probably serving by default your ego and lower consciousness and just comfort and convenience. So that's covering the third point. Now, before I end, I just want to briefly clarify this point about how do you tell apart true versus false intuitions. Sometimes we get an intuition, but we're not quite sure, you know, is this intuition coming from the right place? Or maybe is this my ego being sneaky and deceptive? How can you tell the difference? It's quite simple. False intuitions defend themselves with justifications when they are questioned. Whereas true intuitions are silent when they are questioned, yet the more you question them, they still continue to have that sort of magnetic pull to them. This is an insight that I learned from Christopher Wallace. So I want to give him some credit here. I found this to be very true when I look back at my life. This is exactly how it works. If you have an intuition, go ahead and question your intuition. I'm not telling you to just act on your gut all the time, because sometimes your gut could be wrong. So sit there, like I said, incubate it, ponder it, think about it. Don't make rash moves. Be very strategic. But as you question, be mindful. Be mindful of what happens. When you're questioning your intuition, let's say you have an intuition to move to another city. Now you might want to question that and say, well, why do I want to move to another city? What's going on there? Should I really do that? What are the pros and cons? As you start to question that, take a look. Is the intuition starting to defend itself and coming up with all sorts of justifications and it's becoming very logical? That's a sign that it's probably the wrong choice. Yet, if it has just this sort of silent pull to it, like you're just almost like magnetically attracted, then you're probably going the right direction. Also, the false intuitions tend to be protective. And they tend to come from a place of playing not to lose. Whereas the true intuitions tend to be aspirational, coming from a place of love or beauty, and it's a playing to win, not a playing not to lose. See? So with this example of moving to another city, well, one reason you might want to move to another city is because you feel like, well, if I change cities, then that will like increase my ability to do personal development for whatever reason. You might think that the current city you're living in isn't good. Well, you might want to question that and just look into that and see, are you really moving to another city in order to run away from something? That would be playing not to lose. Or are you moving to another city for aspirational reasons? Because you're playing to win. See? That would be just one example. So use that to tell it apart. What you'll discover as you raise the quality of your consciousness, as you do more of this self-actualization work that I speak of all the time, your intuition will skyrocket as you spiritually purify yourself. You will rely on your intuition more and more and more and more until you get to the point in your life where you are not making any logical decisions about your life. All the decisions in your life are made for you. Not by you, but by the kind of spooky and mysterious intelligence that permeates all of existence. And you will develop a connection to this intelligence, and you will start to see that this intelligence is way, way, way beyond anything that your little mind could come up with. And you will develop such rock-solid faith in that intelligence that you will become a force of nature, driven and fueled by this intelligence, because you will actually surrender your entire ego to this thing, and you will become its vehicle. And at that point is when your life really becomes amazing and magical, because all of a sudden you're not living for yourself anymore. You're not living not to lose. You're living to win. You're living aspirationally. You're living for something way beyond yourself. It's like you're living and you feel like you're a part of the entire universe acting on itself. And that is a very powerful place to come from, because it gives you a lot of motivation. It gives you a lot of staying power with whatever you decide to do, because you're not doing it for your petty little self anymore, the way most people undertake all the stuff they try to accomplish. And that's why they fail so often, right? Because they're doing it for their petty little selves and not for the entire universe. Become an employee of the universe. Let the universe be the boss. Learn to listen to it. Develop your capacities to be a good executor, and then you will be a force of nature. All right, that's it. One last thing I want to mention is that I have a worksheet for you to help you to work on these intuitions, some practical questions that you can go and answer right now. So check for the link below. It's a free PDF. Go ahead and download it and fill out that worksheet. I'm signing off. Go ahead, click the like button for me. Post your questions or comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come sign up to actualize.org right here. This is my newsletter. Sign up to the free newsletter. Stick with me as I release more content on how to self-actualize and how to develop a deeper connection with that higher power inside of you, that deeper calling inside of you. Everything that I've been able to accomplish in my life has stemmed from me really being in touch with what's truly important. You have to get in touch. There's a lot of people out there who are very hard workers, who are working 80 hours a week, but these people are not satisfied with their work, and their work is not that meaningful because, like I said before, they're frying small fish. They're not in touch with the deeper intelligence that is permeating through them. They've been out of touch with that probably because they are living in their ego, probably because they've never heard about these things. And probably because they aren't following through on any kind of persistent education of their mind, filling their mind with the right concepts and ideas, which is what actualize.org is here to help you with. So if you stick with me over the next year, the next 2 years, just watch one of these episodes every week. Start taking action on things I say. Don't just watch, also take action. And you will see that everything that I talk about and more actually becomes possible and becomes true in your life, right? All this stuff I talk about, it's not just cool ideas. This is stuff you can live. This is stuff you can embody. And the stuff, honestly, that I talk about is just like the tip of the iceberg of what's possible. What's actually possible, the entire thing, if you ever saw the entire iceberg, you would be shocked beyond belief. So I'm excited to have you taste even the tip of it, and then go with me all the way to the bottom to see how big the thing is. It's fucking huge. It's remarkable. It's miraculous. It's amazing. So sign up, stay tuned, and I'll see you soon with more.